Sven Sundgaard is kind enough to join us today. Of course, bring me the news and, of course, his YouTube channel. The Exceptional Weather Forecast, Premier Living as well. I want to make sure he has got that great site, too, where he's kind enough to join us to talk about the weather that we are having. And, Sven, we get a rarity. We get to talk some rain.
has been rare. You mentioned the Premier Living, Premier-Living website. I just posted, because we're going to talk about this, I'm sure, a bit today, an update on our drought situation. And the drought's expanded. I know some places, I think you were saying you got a couple of inches where you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was such a crazy narrow area that got 2 to 4 inches of rain. But like a lot of the rainfall events we've seen over the last month, they're very narrow, hit and miss. So what's encouraging is that we're seeing an increase in actual rainfall events, whereas, remember, for 3 weeks at least or more in June, there was nothing happening at all. So at least they're around, but we need more widespread rain. That's a heavier rainfall for more areas, and we just haven't seen that yet. So despite, you know, the drought ended if you're in Corcoran or one of those places that got 4 inches of rain, but it's still going strong for most places.
Well, and to back that up, I was up in Blaine at the soccer tournament that's going on up there right now, and so I had to drive back yesterday afternoon. I came through that, and I'm coming down 169 right by Plymouth. It was pouring hard there. Not as hard in Hopkins, but I mean, I'd say we got maybe an inch, maybe two. I mean, it was coming down really hard for a bit. But the radio station is down here in Eden Prairie, and when we got done with the show, it was pretty much dry. I don't know how much they got here, but they clearly did not get nearly as much as some of these other areas. You mentioned that Corcoran, Maple Plain, Plymouth, Medina area. What was it, 4 inches they got up there?
Yeah, up to 4 inches. That was a smaller area, but 2 to 4 in that swath that included basically went from Watertown, Mound, Orono, Medina, and then up to Brooklyn Park, Coon Rapids, and then as far northeast as is maybe Andover. But that was it. You go up to just to the northwest a little, St. Michael or even Crystal. It was a lot less. The Crystal Airport did pick up an inch, but the airport, our official observation site for the Twin Cities, had 0.022 of an inch.
Really?
So, you know, and that's as the crow flies. I measured it 21 miles from the spot that got 4 inches. So that's the kind of rainfall that we've been dealing with all summer. Is some places are getting it, but we're basically just poking holes in the drought. So it's like not even Swiss cheese. It's worse than that. Tinier holes in a Swiss cheese slice. No rain is worthless, right?
Yeah.
But as far as the drought goes on a statewide scope, these have not done much yet. So I wrote up this whole article going in depth on the drought today, but I did want to go over a few numbers because 98% of Minnesota is now in drought. That's up 5% from a week ago. And the severe drought is now more than half the state, 52%. That's up 12%. And it hasn't been on the map at all this season yet, but now 4% of Minnesota is considered extreme. So you go to the western part of Stearns County, basically up to Bemidji and Red Lake. There's a narrow area there where they are 6 inches behind for rainfall over the last basically 6-7 weeks, which is just that's almost impossible to make up. That will require really just prolonged periods of wet weather here either later this summer, but you know, more likely the way patterns work, it's probably going to have to be a really wet fall to try to make up for that.
I want to ask you a little bit of the science of this, because it seems like these storms and the weather and weather people are looking at these storms that are coming in and kind of anticipating what is a traditional storm, a fairly large swath of rain, most people getting, say, like an inch and maybe one or two places getting more. What we seem to be getting now is storms that almost start to break apart, where you do get that consolidated, very heavy band of rain in a very specific area. And the rest of it kind of fizzles out. Is there something to the science here that we're missing that is kind of starting to diffuse these storms a little bit?
I would really put it more towards the way our computer models work. They really have a hard time with a situation like yesterday. So they actually did pretty well in forecasting, you know, days out. The models were showing the potential for 1 to 4 inches of rain. And we were like, oh, wow, that's great. We knew it wouldn't be widespread. That's just the nature of thunderstorms. Yeah. Any of these systems, it's going to be hit and miss, and it's going to vary greatly, even in a small area. That's pretty typical. But the computer models can't handle that well because of the way the computer model looks at the world. It looks at everything in grids, right? That are, you know, depending upon the model's particular resolution, it's either a 4-kilometer grid or it's 12 kilometers, whatever. But something on that scale, where you're talking about, you know, 0.022 of an inch to 4 inches over a 20-mile span, the models can't handle that. So they did actually a pretty good job at handling that there's the potential for heavy rain. And we could see that. There was really high values of what we call precipitable water. It's the amount of water available in the atmosphere column. And thunderstorms are the most efficient way to extract that. So we knew that, okay, if we can get thunderstorms to develop in this air mass, you're going to have heavy rain. And then where does everything else come together? So I would say it's more how the computer model resolution works. It did a pretty good job with the system. It's just trying to forecast where one very narrow band sets up is virtually impossible. But those are the kind of things that I tell people. You know, people always ask, well, do you think we're going to have 1-year forecast someday? I'm like, no, because the nature of chaos and your show is not a day long, so we can't just go into all that. But basically, what we can get better at and what is getting better at are shorter term forecasts, better resolution models, better data that we can put into the models, because the computer models can only do as well as the information we put in them. So we have to have higher resolution of data. Satellites have helped come a long way by putting more numbers, more information, so that we have a better initial understanding of what's happening. So these are the kind of things, these extreme precip events in small scales, and thunderstorm forecasting, those are things that have already improved a ton in the last 10, 20 years and will continue to improve. But, you know, going past, you're not going to have a really good forecast probably ever past 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. I think you do an exceptional job, and I encourage you. By the way, if you're not watching when Sven does put out one of those weather forecasts, you need to, because they're exceptional. It is a very tricky business because, as you said, little things can impact it, and as you said, even with all the best information, you're trying to kind of almost throw a dart at a board when it comes down to just what suburbs of a large metro area are going to see rain. It's the fact that you can at least narrow it down to the west side, I think, is a real attribute to where we are today, at least at that point.
Totally. And the models, you know, leading up to it a couple days out, they're not going to be very good at that. But day of, and even the night before, the models were pretty good, and particularly good at creating the scenario we had yesterday, which is we knew the day before that we'd get one of these mesoscale convective complex systems to develop. So these storms develop in clusters, form a line out in the Black Hills. And we get more of these later in the summer at night, but that's where they start, in the evening or overnight in that area, and they form into one organized cluster of thunderstorms, and that's what came through yesterday. And they're very beneficial for rainfall, as many of us saw, but we normally get more of them. That's part of the problem, so that you get heavy rain in narrow spots, but eventually, if you're getting one a week, everybody gets a turn. So it did a very good job at forecasting that one of these MCCs would develop, whereas 10 years ago, models couldn't handle something that complex. And so we knew already the day before, on Tuesday afternoon, our severe risk here in the metro is really diminishing quickly, because if we get one of those and we're cloudy and rainy in the middle of the day, that puts the kibosh on severe weather, which is good and bad. You know, nobody wants severe weather, but if we had had that redevelopment of storms later in the day, that would have brought a round two that would have brought more heavy rain to areas that didn't get it in round one. So we would have had more of a widespread soaking across the metro instead of this almost nothing in the south and too much in the northwest.
There, I want to ask you about diminishing returns. You mentioned the areas by Bemidji's got 6 inches here, and you get this downpour in the Corcoran area there. You know, when you get a really dry area, obviously the best case scenario is, say, once every day you get about an inch of rain, it kind of fixes it up after 6 days. Guess what? You're back to normal. Hopefully enough of the ground is absorbed there. But when you have it all come down in one, 3 or 4 hour window, is there a point of diminishing returns where just the water, even though the land and the plants, everything needs the water, the fact is it's coming down so fast that it doesn't really get rid of that drought problem there, because most of the water, because it's coming down at such a tilt, is draining off before it can be absorbed effectively?
Yeah, no, that definitely is becomes an issue, and that's where meteorologists in the hydrology center, and we're lucky that we not only have the Weather Service based in the Twin Cities, but also the hydrology center, for which is the whole region of the Upper Midwest, is based in the Twin Cities too, and that's something that they have to look at in their models. Is how hard and dry is the ground in areas? Because yeah, you don't have as efficient of absorption, and so when you get these extreme rainfall events, of which 4 inches in a couple of hours is pretty extreme, and as we've talked about, those kinds of events are happening more frequently in a warmer world. But yeah, you know, how much of that water gets absorbed and how much of it just leads to erosion and flooding. That's where they look at, you know, particular flash flooding concerns in those situations. And there were no warnings out at that point. But it had that band of precip happened in the Twin Cities, like right over Minneapolis or St. Paul, we probably would have had flash flood warnings yesterday, because the ground is dry and hard here, just like everywhere. But then you have on top of it the urban areas where we know that our sewer systems can't handle that amount of rain in that short of a period of time.
Just like that one storm years ago that kind of washed out a part of 35W. Just, it was too much.
Yeah, and the city out manhole covers. And, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God, horrible. Now, you have also talked about the return, because now that we got this rain past us, great news, everybody. It's not going to rain for a while again. It doesn't look like it, at least.
No, there's nothing.
And the heat dome. And you have talked about this heat dome that seems to be roaming the West Coast like a drifter. It's down in the Southwest right now. But your latest forecast, and I'll post this online a little bit later on, it's going to start reforming closer to us, correct?
Yeah, and remember, we talked about this last week, even, that this was going to be a possibility in the week that we're talking about next week. So it right now, it's kind of spread out. And as we've talked about, as the heat spreads out, it's less intense. But then as it condenses again in an area, it increases in intensity. And that process is happening again this weekend. So last week, it was Vegas's turn, remember, in the Southwest, yeah. Death Valley. Death Valley broke a new all-time record for the planet. The most reliable record. There are temperatures that are above 130, but the World Meteorological Organization doesn't place a lot of value on them. Whereas we know the Death Valley Station is a reliable record. And even then, they go through and it's a process of months really verifying the record. So the old record, I believe, was 129.8, and they hit an even 130.0 over the weekend. And so that would be, if verified, a new world record.
Wow.
But also Las Vegas tied their all-time record of 117. So there are a lot of records going, but yeah, now it's kind of spread out this week. And this weekend is regrouping, and the core of it seems to be developing probably over Montana, Wyoming, the Western Dakotas. And that's pretty close to us. And so as that happens, that's why we're gonna see the temperatures increase for us through the weekend. We may hit 90 already by Sunday, but likely Monday, and the blend of our models, which is basically the average of the computer models, does bring in probably, we're looking at a 6-7 day stretch at least of consecutive days that will be at or above 90 degrees. And then the other thing we're going to be looking carefully at, as we've talked about, how extreme will that heat get? Because the core of that heat dome appears to move a little too close to us along the Minnesota Western Dakotas border by later next week. And if that happens, that's when we have a pretty good shot at some triple digit readings. And still, the American model has been pretty consistent at giving us at least 100 degrees sometime next Thursday to Sunday. And you know, it'll throw out one once in a while, but when it's doing it consistently every day, and as we're getting closer, now it's something that everybody's going to pay very close attention to.
You had said in June, what is the average amount of 90 degree days we get in Minneapolis, St. Paul over a regular summer?
13.
How many were you at right now?
We are at, you're putting me on the spot.
I'm sorry. Don't worry about it.
I can look it up quickly if we want to talk about something else. Well, we're doing that. So we had two only so far this month of July. That surprises me, actually.
Yeah.
But remember, the 4th and 5th of July, it was 96 on the 5th. So two in July, and then we had a bunch in June. We had 12. So we're at 14. So we're already above. So if nothing else happens the rest of the summer, we're above normal.
And we're going to have, it sounds like, multiple days, at least 90s.
Yeah, we could have seven more. The most ever was 1988, but it was 40-something days in the 90s. Ugh. So imagine that.
Oh,
but
God.
We beat June of 1988 just this last month, as far as just June goes. So,
and once again, and you said this back in June. Once it gets up into those 90s, something's got to cool it down. And if we get into a pattern where it's not knocking that 90-degree heat out, I don't want to see another 2-week stretch of this. I mean, that was nasty in June.
No, and there's no reason to think that, you know, everything in July it sets up for the warmest temperatures and the longest heat waves, because it is the warmest period in the year for the whole Northern Hemisphere. So we'll see. Does it rival what we had in June? Remember, we had 9 consecutive days of 90 plus in June. And again, the average of our models gives us 7 coming up at least. And that's only because the 7th 90 is at the end of the model 10-day model stretch. So there could be more out there. But, you know, all it takes is one day in the middle that's in the 80s that, you know, one or two of the models that does forecast, and that could break that streak. But, you know, does that really matter to the rest of us if we have 12 90s, but one day in the middle was 88?
Oh, that 88 was delightful. That way, I remember when it cooled down to 89.
That's what counts for the statistics. And we're right in the thick of statistically the warmest 2 weeks of the year, where our average temperature is at its peak, the average at least. So we'll see. But as we all know around here, August can be a very warm month too. But, you know, we've had some years where August is almost September-like.
Oh, very. Yeah. And then one or two times where I've been to the State Fair and it feels October-like out there. So, yeah, it does happen. Yeah, but not
a couple of those days.
Not too often. All right. So for the weekend, what should we look for, Sven?
It's going to be, you know, gorgeous. I mean, it's hard to complain about, but we are in a drought too. But it's going to be sunny really the next 7 to 10 days. There is no rain in sight. So if you didn't get yesterday's rain, which most of us didn't get enough anyway, you got to keep on watering. And we're looking at temperatures that, you know, today we topped out at 83, which is right about the average of 84. Tomorrow we should be in the mid 80s, mid to upper 80s Saturday, probably upper 80s, if not 90 already Sunday. We won't have really humidity yet, though, this weekend. So that's one thing, pleasant thing we've had this summer, is because of the lack of moisture, there's a lack of humidity too. So next week is going to be a dry heat. But it starts out Monday at 90. I think we're in the mid-90s Tuesday, and we'll be right at, you know, 90 to 95 degrees at least all through next week. And there's that potential. Thursday's the day to watch, where if I was a betting man, is probably one of our better chances of hitting 100 here coming up in the next 7 to 10 days.
I'll link to the Premier Living link as well, the Premier-Living, the weather there. You'll get a link to that on social media. We'll get his current weather forecast out as well. Sven Sundgaard, kind enough to join us. BringMeTheNews.com. Sven, thank you very much. Always appreciated, my friend.
Yeah, maybe we'll see you at Pride this weekend, too. I think I heard you say you were going to try to check it out.
I will definitely get down there this weekend, because like I said, most of the time I'm out of town at a cabin, so I'm going down this year because I've always missed it.
I kind of like it in mid-July more. The weather's better usually around here.
It would be. I don't know if it's so nice next weekend, but this weekend it looks like we might get lucky on this. So,
yep.
I'll look for you out there. Thank you very much, Sven Sundgaard.